Greetings to each of you this morning, in Jesus' name. Glad to see each of you here, and welcome to our visitors as well. Enjoyed the service so long, so far this morning, and I thought that that little clip, Billy Graham, fit right in somewhat with the sermon. And also, I thought that did, but I'm not sure if it does. But anyway, I'm sure it does somewhere, somehow. But again, as we are together worshiping, to worship God today, and to look into His Word, and just the different things through Sunday school and all, just the reminders of what we're here for. And as Billy Graham talked about the shortness of life, how quickly we are young and then we find ourselves to be older, and how it just seems like yesterday, and how that time has gone and so on. And so it would remind us of the importance of life and how we look at life and the decisions we make in life and how we choose life. So today you can turn to, again, Hebrews chapter 2. We will continue on in the book here for today. And I look forward to this, and I like these verses and the scripture, and yet as I dug into it, I found it again to be a little bit more than it's on the surface, and maybe a little bit more difficult to put together than I thought it would be, but hopefully, and maybe that's why I'm a little bit nervous about it, because I feel a little bit unsure of myself, a little bit like unprepared, more than I like to be. But I know God is able, God is faithful, and God can help us through this morning in opening our eyes to see what He has for us to see. I'm going to read the first 8 verses of chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect a so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Then just the first phrase there in chapter and verse 9, but we see Jesus. That sort of changes the picture, and I don't think I will get that far today. But I've titled this, Paying Attention to What We Have Heard. And as he reminds us here, the first word, therefore, so we need to look into the previous chapter and see why we need to give more earnest heed. What is he talking about? And he's referring to the previous chapter and what he's talking there. And he said, well, what did we hear? So if we go back to chapter 1, what did you hear? What was in there? And it's the message of the gospel is what we heard. In verse 2, it says, God has spoken to us by his Son, who has been appointed heir over all things, by whom also he made the world. Now, just prior to that, he talked about in the times past, God spoke to us through the prophets. But then he goes on to say that it's through his Son then that he has spoken to us. So the message of salvation, the gospel, was spoken to us by his Son, now through his word that has been given to us to read. And not only is he spoken through his Son, but his Son, and he refers to his Son as being the appointed heir of all things. When we know that Jesus was with the Godhead, he was in heaven before he came to earth. And so he was the Son of God. He was God as such as well. But he lowered himself and became a man and came to earth. I'll be getting ahead of myself if I keep going there. And then in verse 3, verse 3 and verse 4 in chapter 1, he is also some of the things that we have learned is that who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, talking about Jesus being in the likeness of God and looking, I believe he looked like God and he was a reflection of God. Upholding, and he upheld all things by the word of his power when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Being made so much better than the angels, we also learned that he was better than the prophets. He had a better name than the prophets. He had a better name than the angels also. he had a more excellent name than the angels. And so his position was so much greater than what the angels had. And so, okay, that is what we heard. Now, why should we pay more careful attention to the things that we have heard? As he goes on here to explain. Again, it seems like the writer he's drawing a picture of the world in general, and we can identify with that kind of a world that we live in today. Even though man has lived in a fallen world all of the generations of life from the beginning after the fall in the garden, and yet times there have been times when things have been much more positive, much better, more prosperous, and so on. And then there are those times when it seems like man finds themselves going, opposing God and trying to just follow man's own inclinations. And it does nothing but take man down and further down and into more darkness and into more sin. And that's where I think we find ourselves today, in the generation, in the times that we live. And so it's because of that, I think we need to, this especially is real or revelant, can't say it, relevant, thank you, for us today. You might revel in it too, I'm not sure, but in that we need to take earnest heed to remember. You know, we can get so caught up and so focused on what's happening around us that we forget who we are and what we're here for and what God has called us to do. And not only that, but what God has done for us. The glorious salvation that God has through Jesus Christ given and provided for us. And that's what he's simply trying to tell us. But how easy that is, how easy it is for us to forget and take for granted. You know, some of us have been saved for many, many years. And it's just like anything else. Many of you have been married a lot of years. So is today, after 20, 25, 40, 50 years, Do you think about back when you were dating, back when you, as a man, asked your wife to marry you, and you, as the lady, responding obviously positively that you would, and how you felt at that time as to where you are today? It's not quite the same. It gets better, and yet that glorious feeling isn't quite like it was then. Without some work, without some intentional cultivating, I guess I want to say. And we can find that in our Christian experience as well. Unless we cultivate our relationship with Jesus Christ, and not just once in a while, but daily, then there's a lot of weeds that grows up. You that know gardening, you know, when you work up the ground and it looks so nice, there's no weeds in sight, everything is perfect. It's just like a perfect setting to plant your garden, to plant your seeds. And so you plant your seeds and they come up and it looks so nice. And so can you just sit back and say, okay, now I'm waiting for harvest. And I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to watch it grow. And one day I'm going to go out there and I'm going to pick whatever I planted. Doesn't work that way, does it? Before you know it, there are weeds coming up here and there and all through it. And the next thing you know, it's choking out that seed that you planted, the good seed, and it's hindering it being able to produce the good fruit that you are looking forward to. That's how I can picture it in our Christian lives as well. If we don't, and last weekend we were admonished many times, the importance of a personal relationship with God. And doing that in reading, in praying, and having a consistent plan and format in mind so that we can follow that and we can do that. Because if don't, things come into our lives. Our schedules change, and if we're not careful, the day has slipped by, and I didn't even read anything in the Bible, or I forgot to pray. Or maybe say, I'll pray later on. But we get distracted, and again, things come and go, and, oh, at the end of the day, I still didn't pray. Well, there's still time. We still can then. But what I'm saying is we have to be intentional. And that's what the writer, I think, is trying to convey to us as the hearers. You have to be intentional, because if you don't, you're going to forget. Or he says, it might slip away. It might slip through your fingers or from your mind. God forbid that that would happen. But we're human, and it could happen. And if we get so busy and involved and not intentional in our relationship with God, it will happen. The NIV says, do not drift away. You know, we as people, and I thinking back to the early church in our Sunday school lesson and how that they had everything common. I can just imagine this was a glorious get-together. It was one big fellowship meal, not just for an hour or two on Sunday, but it lasted all day, every day, and went on. I wonder how long it happened. How long before they started seeing faults in each other and they started finding problems among each other. And it wasn't quite so glorious as at the first. I mean, it's only time. Unless we have a goal set, we are prone to drift in whatever form you want to name. I'm looking at especially of our spiritual lives. We can drift away from where we were, unless we're anchored securely in Jesus Christ and have that good, cultivated relationship with Him. And that's the last thing we want to do. We don't want to be like a boat drifting out on the sea. And I was at an auction the other day, and there was a kayak. And the auctioneer just mentioned, he said, this is a kayak you need. It would be good to be out on the ocean. And then he went on to say, but he wouldn't want to be in the kayak in the ocean. And I thought, I wouldn't either. I really wouldn't even want to be in a big ship out in the ocean if it was just had no power and it was just drifting on the sea. I would think, and I guess that's part of why water scares me a little bit of to that point, because I think of what might happen and how you are at the mercy of whatever's out there. So, we do not want to drift away. Adam Clark talks about, lest at any time we should leak out. That's a little different term, but he uses the metaphor of taking from an inadequate container. Back years ago, more so than today. Today, you ladies still do. You can, and you put things in jars, and those jars you use year after year after year, although sometimes after a lot of heating and cooling and so on, you'll put a jar in to process and it will break and you lose its contents. But back then they used a lot of skin, different skins that they made bags out of to put their wines in and so on. You remember Jesus talked about don't put new wine in old wine skins because they dry out, and you put the new in there, and it ferments. There's more power, and the next thing you know, it bursts, and you lose your wine. And so he's comparing it in wooden barrels, I guess is another one I thought of. The staves not being close together, you know, as wood dries, it expands and shrinks, and so you get cracks and so on, and so you put water in a wooden barrel, and the next time you go there, it's empty, and you wonder why. And so, anyway, the staves not being close together, the liquid put into them leaks out through the cracks and crevices. Careless hearers lose the benefits of the word preached, as the unseasoned container does what has been stored in it. Nor can anyone hear to the saving of his soul unless he gives most earnest heed. As he tells us here, we need to give earnest heed. So that's why I say we have to be intentional in our relationship with God. And as we do that, as you read and as you cultivate your relationship with God, it keeps it fresh and keeps it new. It keeps that weeds that keeps popping up. The word shows us there's a weed. We need to do a little weeding today and get rid of some of these thoughts and some of these actions that are not right, that are not hindering us. And then the other part is also we need to, it reminds us of what maybe we can do and the glorious way that God gave his Son and sent him to this earth to die for us. The salvation that he provided for us. It keeps it again before us, fresh and new for us to appreciate and to encourage us in our lives. Verse 2, it talks about the word spoken by angels. Back in the Old Testament, there were a lot of times the things that happened. There were angels that came and brought the message to whoever. The law that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai, there it talks about an angel came there and showed him what to write. Now, sometimes when it uses the word angel in different cases in the Old Testament, at least it can be also, it'll say Lord. So that can be interchanged there at times. But Acts 7:53 and Acts 7:38 are a couple references that talk about the angels there and what they did, and also Galatians 3:19. That's right here before me. I will read that in one. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, that mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. That's, again, talking about Moses and how that the law was given to Moses, and then he presented it to the people, and so on. And so angels are part of the work that they do or did at that time as well. God used angels to communicate his will to mankind. Angels were only instruments to transmit the law. Moses was a mediator between God and the people. And he goes on to say that what they spoke was steadfast. So the law was given by God, the divine authority, and every act of disobedience in respect to the duties was punished. It received a just recompense, or the NIV would say punishment, the kind and degree of punishment which the law prescribed for those who broke it. Now, I know that punishment is a negative topic, and we don't like that. We don't like, the children don't like to hear about punishment because they know it's something bad. But we would like to talk about love and about obedience, because that is good. That brings life to us, and it brings blessing to us when we obey. But what he's trying to say is simply, if the words that the angels spoke and the people didn't uphold them or obey them, they brought punishment on it. There were consequences for their disobedience. And so he's saying that's the same thing to us. If we disobey, and if we deny, or if we close our ears, our spirit to the message of the gospel, the salvation that Jesus has provided for us through his death and resurrection, then that will also bring a punishment. That will bring an eternal punishment, a separation from God. And so it's important for us to remember that what God says, God will do. God didn't design. God, I don't believe God likes to. It's not his top priority to see how he can punish us in any way. I don't think God wants to do that. That may not even be in his thoughts. But he wants us to respond in love, in obedience to what he has for us to do through his Holy Spirit, through his word. He reminds us of that. But if we choose otherwise, God has allowed us that privilege. I can disobey if I want to. I don't have to follow God. I can go my own way. I can do my own thing. But at the end of life, I will reap those consequences for those choices. Or I can choose to follow the call of God on my life. And I can be obedient to what he has for me to do, and my life can be blessed. And I can be a help. I can be an encouragement. I can be in the community. I will be a person that will be a helper, and one that is positive in directing the sense of community toward God, or the other way, if I disobey. It's time to close, and I was hoping to get through verse 3, but I think we will stop right there, and we'll pick up again next time. So just remember, it's a blessing of God. The choices we make, how we respond, will determine how we conduct our lives and what we do. And God wants to bless us. I believe that. God's desire is for our good, for our welfare. And as he said, hell was not made or created for us, for Christians. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But if we refuse the call of God, we will find ourselves there, and it'll be by our own choice. So let's not do that. So our song for this morning is The Love of God in the hymnary 779, you can turn to that, and when you find it, you can stand, and we'll pray, and you can be dismissed. Thank you, Father in heaven, again today for your blessings to us. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have given to live within us, to guide us into all truth. Thank you, God, for your Spirit that drew us to you. And I pray for those that need to respond and need to listen to your call. I pray that you would continue to draw them by your Holy Spirit and help them to make that choice. And help us that have been Christians for many years, help us to not forget. Help us not to let those things that we hold precious, that have been precious and been dear, to let them slip from us. But help us to work and to be intentional in our relationship and our walk with you. So bless each person here today, God. You know our hearts. You know our needs. You know our ambitions. Lord, may your Spirit guide each of them into a closer walk with you and to be of service to you wherever we are. So again, may you receive glory, honor, and praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.